You are listening to the In Her Flow podcast with Gina and Serena. We created this podcast to help you nurture and connect to your flow, whilst also reducing the stigma and shame surrounding periods.
Each week, we will share episodes that explore conversations with female health practitioners, industry expanders, and everyday women. We are so grateful that you're tuning in to today's episode.
Me and Gina both know people who, we know a lot of people who have endometriosis. What are the actual statistics of women that are suffering from it?
Yeah, they're pretty crazy, actually. So you will have heard 1 in 10, it's like a slogan around endo, 1 in 10 women, which is massive in and of itself. But I went to check that the other day on the Endometriosis Australia website, and it's now that they're posting
1 in 9.
Yeah, 1 in 9. So that equates to 200 million worldwide and 80,000 in Australia. So they're basically saying it's an epidemic, like a silent epidemic. That's the terminology that's being placed around it now. So
epidemic.
Yeah.
So there are people suffering in silence.
Yeah, it's a silent epidemic. Yeah, exactly. And I think why it's so important, I think, for awareness of the disease is that we have early diagnosis, because it actually gets worse the longer it's allowed to proliferate in your system. And the sad thing is that it takes them, I think the average stat is 7 to 10 years to be diagnosed, which is just insane. And, you know, during all of this time, they're paying all this money to find out what's wrong with them. They're going through all the symptoms. Their mental health is suffering. Their work is suffering. Their relationships are suffering. And the disease is taking a hold in their systems as well. So, it's...
I know you were chatting before, we were saying how... if you do get really bad period pain to the point that you're unable to go to work and like unable to function, I guess, in your everyday life, what other things would you say, and like at what point would you recommend for someone to go and seek medical help and try and get that early diagnosis in terms of like PMS symptoms or like what other things would be an early sign of endometriosis besides that severe period pain?
It could be pain with sex. The clots, like we mentioned before, in your period, flooding. It could be pain in your back. It could be like any of those things that we mentioned before, just any of those sort of, so it's important to have a good hot handle on what's going on with your period too, like just, you know, maybe even taking like jotting some notes down, like I feel like really unwell, pain here and here on this day. And they're really vital. They're really great to have as notes when you do go in to see a doctor as well, because you're armed then with some research and on your own body, and you can say to them, look, this is what I'm experiencing. But look, I would just say any pain is enough. You should not have, in my mind,
you need to tolerate any pain.
We shouldn't. I read something so funny the other day. It was like, it was equating it to the men. If men had a pain in their penis, you know.
Yeah. Oh, the drama.
And then they had to never hear the parts end of it. Oh, it was just hilarious. Yeah. They there would be a cure for the disease in a year.
Yeah,
absolutely. No one would put up with that.
Not at all. I would just say any kind of pain that you're experiencing, if your flow is really heavy, clotty, headaches, pain with sex, pain after any kind of pelvic examination, any of those kinds of things, or not being able to fall pregnant after a year of trying. I would definitely go and talk to someone about, you know, can we maybe look into this, the possibility that maybe I do have endo, because, you know, you might not have pain, it's very different for all women. Yeah,
absolutely. And so I guess in terms of those who have been diagnosed with endo, like what kind of diet and lifestyle changes can they adopt to support them with this diagnosis?
There's so much that you can do. It's just amazing.
Top tips.
Yeah. I would say, the first thing I would say is every woman is different. I don't think you can necessarily overlay a natural plan on every woman or person suffering with endo and say, yeah, if you just follow this, you'll be fine. And that's why I think having a coach is really important, because part of that is about, you know, listening to their specific symptoms, setting goals, reviewing that, tweaking it, that kind of thing. But I would say probably the starting point, I would say, is diet. I would say for endo, diet is key. I mean, we know it's key for so many health conditions because it's how we nourish our body. But it's really important for endo in that it's what you take out of your diet, and it's also important about what you put into your diet, as both have a massive impact. And because it's an inflammatory disease, it's really important to be eating foods that reduce inflammation, and you're avoiding foods that flare inflammation in your system. So that's super important. And I guess in addition to that, eating for your gut health, because now we know that there is this link with gut health as well. That's really important. And then mopping up excess estrogen with foods as well, which can be amazing to mop up excess estrogen in your body as well. So trying to work with foods that do that. I mean, and I would say here, like, there's a list actually, but just to note down a couple, like, foods that you want to diet are from the brassica family, really good. And and your omega-3 rich foods, anything that's wild, a wild protein or a grass-fed protein, you really want to move away from anything that's grain-fed. There's so many toxins in grain-fed food, and also in addition, there's, you know, there's the gluten element as well. So that's, we want to take that out. If I think most women that I work with, if they're taking out the gluten, it does have a really big effect. Eating the vegetables, the omega-3 rich foods, anything that's rich in magnesium and zinc, whole foods, you know, we want organic whole foods as much as we possibly can. Anything that's rich in antioxidants, because you want to fight. Your body needs support to fight the inflammation.
Yeah.
Boost that immune system.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then big one, and I have Lara Bryden to thank for this. Is taking out A1 casein in dairy, so cow's dairy. Yes. She says she believes that's her main number one takeout for endo.
I was reading that too, actually.
Yeah.
Really? I thought it's a huge change in reducing dairy as well as gluten, especially leading up to my period and during menstruation. Period cramps are like almost gone completely when I do that.
Yeah, same here.
Incredible.
It really is. She even says even the tiniest bit of it is system into a massive flare. Just being mindful of how much it can really affect our systems. That's been incredible for women with endo to make that change. But I mean, there's lots of things that we can put in and take out. I would say that the A1 casein dairies and the gluten have been, and sugar fructose, massive takeout.
And what about in terms of like lifestyle changes? Because it's not possible for everyone to just like not work and meditate. live this stress-free life. But I know stress causes so much inflammation. What kind of lifestyle strategies do you have for people suffering from endometriosis?
It's good that you mention it in that way. I do think that treating endo, if you really want to really hit the nail on the head, you do want to assess your life, and that can take time. You know, it took me time. It took me time. There's a lot of things I clung on to and I didn't let go of for a long time, but it is worth looking at what in my life is causing me a lot of stress and anxiety, because it will fuel the endo in your system. So having that real deep appraisal of you, what, you know, maybe it's your job. And I'm not saying, you know, you've got to go away and quit your job, but it's worth to start thinking about it and at least acknowledging that you're getting stressed because of that trigger or that trigger, or the anxiety is coming from there. And then there's so much we can do to work with with the anxiety and the triggers. And also, you know, obviously I can refer clients on to amazing psychologists and counselors as well. But it is a really big part of treating endo is your lifestyle. You know, are you getting out in nature? Are you grounding yourself? Are you taking time for yourself? These are really important questions. Because you can be doing all the diet, you can be doing, you know, all these other really good things. But if you are living in a high stress state all the time, that's going to be critical to your endo continuing and building in your system. It's a big one. But I mean,
I was just going to say, like, I know we spoke a lot about a lot of the sort of negative things that can come with endo, but I mean, for yourself and your clients that you see, have you seen really sort of positive changes that, you know, can make people hopeful?
Amazing results. I would not be doing this if I didn't. Obviously, I saw them on myself, and that's where I was like, oh, I have to talk to people about this. And then, you know, once you start talking to others with endo who are doing it as well, like you said, for yourself, you know, just taking out dairy that leading up to your period, just that one thing has made such a difference on your cramps, you know. So once you know that something works, you want to share it. And when there really is so many women who are just doing what the doctors are offer, like taking the drugs and still not finding that there's, I believe a lot of the time it's making it worse. There's so much, like there's so much in regards to not only food and, you know, sort of thinking about lifestyle, but like low tox in your living environments. So there's so much you can do there as well, because we're living in a really toxic age.
Absolutely.
From the moment, I think I was watching this one thing the other day. It was really interesting. It was from the moment we woke up to the moment we walked out the door to work, how many toxins that we would expose ourselves to, because it's things like it's our beauty as women, our beauty products, our shower products, our self-hygiene products, our washing products, our cleaning products, you know, plastics in our cookware, our storage of our food. You know, it's the sprays on our food. It's in the water we drink. You know, it's all these things.
Everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all and then we're so to cope with it.
Yeah, wow. You know, when you put it like that, it's like you need to really take inventory of where you can actually reduce those toxins, whether that's through taking like natural deodorants and like skincare, makeup products, which are all available. But have to really see and look where you can avoid those. And
I'm a big fan of Nourish Life because it's, you know, at least you can go on to there and go, okay, I need deodorant and I need this and I need this. And you've got everything.
Any goodies.
Yeah, exactly. And then, you know, you've got supplementation too, which is, I think supplementation for endo has really taken a big leap forward as well. Now that we know what's sort of causing the disease, we don't know for sure, but we know what's happening in the body. Now you know the research is coming out, so we can address it so much better with supplementation as well. So that's really like a big shout out to turmeric and zinc, especially for endo.
magic.
It's so great. And you know the what's beautiful now is that there are natural supplements that target specific things with endo. Like for example, for me, I had an endometrioma on my ovary. And that's what I'm predisposed to with endo. So I take NAC, which is this wonderful natural supplement, a massive hit of antioxidants for my body, and that targets cysts. Things like this that amazing. We now know, which are just wonderful.
Yeah, I've used I call it NAC. I think it's like N-acetylcysteine or something.
NAC,
like that.
Yeah, NAC, yeah, that's the one.
It's amazing.
It's, you know, a really cool little. Fun thing, well, a good use for that too is if you do want to have a few wines, you just take it 20 minutes before.
Oh, yeah. Great tip.
So if I still
enjoy yourself.
So I know that if I'm going to, like, for example, if I can't avoid a toxin, I know I can avoid alcohol, but now and then I do like to have a glass of wine or a few. But
let loose.
But say, for example, if I'm going to. And I don't do this very often, but I dye my hair every now and then. And I know it's really not good for my system. It's one of the few toxins I still expose myself to. And I try and buy the natural dye. My hairdresser works with me, but there's still toxins that I am exposed to in that process. So I just take the NAC 20 minutes before she dyes my hair. So at least I can support my body through that process a little bit better.
It's like a life hack.
Yeah.
Like that. Amazing.
Beautiful.
So I guess thank you so much for all those beautiful tips, but can you I guess give us a little bit more of an overview of how you really provide support to those suffering with endo? Your coaching.
So I guess as a coach, what the first thing I do is hold space and listen to that woman and her history and what's been going on for her. I think that's really crucial because women with endo often haven't told their story. They haven't had been heard. And so I really, really strongly believe that's a crucial part of the process of healing. And also, you know, talking to them about communicating with their loved ones and whether it's with people at work or how can they manage the disease and also share what's going on for them with their loved ones as well, so they've got all the support and validation that they need It's a big thing because I think
that I'm not crazy. I think that's such an important piece to just have that validation and reassurance that, you know, what you're experiencing has a reason.
That's exactly right. I mean, I think that's part of the silence of the silent epidemic, you know. And I think there is research now coming up that it's to do with the normalization of the pain by GPs as well. So I think there's a lot to break down there because women just feel, first of all, they feel ridiculous themselves and embarrassed and shamed. But they don't really want, they struggle to trust. I think that's another thing. So,
So many surgeries, many times can you trust them?
Exactly.
Yeah, the effectiveness of that. Yeah.
So that would be that's sort of like the first, that's where we go first, really. And then what I do is I partner with this woman and I offer support and navigation through the endostorm. What I do is I work with them and to figure out what's their greatest need, what's their deepest need with endo. And, you know, there's a lot you can do. So it's about taking manageable steps and putting in a plan, you know, figuring out, you know, what's the goals that you want to reach? What are the roadblocks to achieving those goals, and you know, and how can you bust through them? How can you detour around them? You know, encouragement, accountability, review. So as I mentioned before, you know, they might go away and try something that and then come back the next time and we're like, she's like, yes, that's really working, that's fantastic, didn't work quite as well as I thought, so we tweak it. So because every woman is different, I don't ever think there's a one size fits all approach to all women naturally. Different natural therapies will work better with other women. For example, you know, you've got therapies like there's so many amazing ones that you've got medicinal CBD and THC, and I think that's massive in the States, but it's only just starting to come in here, and women with endo can apply to get that medicinally, legally and medicinally. So amazing for anxiety as well. Really great for inflammation, pain, anxiety. It just seems to do so much. Acupuncture, which personally for me was incredible. You know, you've got castor oil packs, abdominal massage, yoni steaming, so vaginal steaming, which I'm also a massive fan of. Aromatherapy, infrared saunas, you know, and of course exercise and your Epsom salt baths and having that emotional and psychological support and meditation, all these things, you know, there is a lot on offer, but it's about finding the right thing for that woman and what she can manage and what she can implement and what she feels is her body is responding to.
Such a beautiful approach.
So tailored to your unique differences and needs.
So that's sort of how I work. I tend to break down their needs into sort of six categories, which is like pain management, flow health and regulation, digestion health, fertility, energy and mental health. I mean, you know, they might start with pain management but then want to work on digestion health, or you know, they might come to me and it might be about their mental health, but then they want to work on fertility, or they'll come about fertility, but then that will, you know, that will work into other areas as well. So, and they're just, it's such a big disease. We need support, you know, we need a support.
From what you've told us today, I think every woman with endo needs a little bit of love and support throughout their journey.
Yeah, exactly.
And I guess with getting that support, how and where can our listeners find you?
Yeah, so they can find me on my website, which is joelincolnwellness.com. So that's spelled joelincolne and then wellness.com. And I'm also on Instagram under joelincolnwellness, the same.
Amazing.
If they want to have a free discovery session with me, they can have a chat with me, get a feel for how I work and how I can help them. So that's there, you can see all of the options on the website. There's also coaching packages and even one-off coaching sessions if they just want a one-off coaching session as well. There's lots of different options there. And I'm also currently working on an online package as well, which will be based around the endo eating plan. So if anyone's interested, they'll be able to go to my site and purchase that info bundle, but I'm still getting that up at the moment.
Stay tuned, everyone.
Yeah. And the other exciting thing is I'm in the process of updating my certification for yoni steaming and abdominal massage. So that will come on board soon too. So
incredible.
So that's the main places to find me.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for sharing so much amazing information and just a lot of things that I think people actually don't understand or know about.
Thank you, ladies, so much for holding the space for me today.
We really appreciate it.
Yeah, it was so lovely to connect and just to hear about your own story and, you know, how women with endometriosis can support themselves naturally. And
there's hope.
There really is hope. And I have to say, this is the end. I really feel like we're coming, like I said before, this is a new era for endo, and I have so much more hope for the women who are being diagnosed in this era now, because there's so much more that's known, and you know, there's so many, you know, a greater broadening of an understanding around the natural approach as well, which I think is just just so great. There's a lot, there's so much more on offer, so I guess the main thing is don't hesitate if you think that something's not right, or like we were saying before, if you think that you might have a symptom, go and talk to your doctor and just say, look, I want to look into the possibility of endometriosis. And you know, if they're not receptive to that, then I would say find another doctor. Nobody knows our bodies like we do ourselves. So
totally.
Yeah. And I think it's always better if you have an inkling about something to just get no answer to that, rather than having it in the back of your mind where it might cause you a bit of anxiety and uncertainty.
Exactly.
So
better
sooner than later.
Yeah, exactly right. Mm-hmm. Definitely, because you don't want it to progress and take a greater hold in your body. If I was a woman now going in for surgery, I would do my research. I would find out who was the best specialised in excision for endometriosis, and then I would ask around, and I would do a lot of research on that to make sure I got the best person, because if you can get it done correctly, you may just have to get one surgery done right, and that's what Dr. Iris Allbush, I don't know if I'm saying her name correctly, Allbush. She writes the book Beating Endo anyway, and she's on the documentary called Endo What. But she says, you know, you just need one surgery done right.
Thank you for joining us in this week's episode on the In Her Flow podcast. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and leave a review if you loved this podcast episode.
Even better, share it with a friend or family member who could benefit from this information. Our mission is to normalize period talk and help women to tune in with their cyclical bodies.
See you next week.